We could cover municipal elections around the world every day on this show if we wanted to. You'd be bored. But there's nothing boring about what's going on with Moscow city elections right now. People in Moscow have gotten used to riot police and baton sticks this summer. The unrest started when Kremlin officials barred candidates from running for mayor, candidates who oppose President Vladimir Putin. They were barred because their paperwork wasn't in order, so claim government officials. That's why when Muscovites head to the ballot box this weekend, some 200 names will be missing from the ballot. To help us make sense of all this, we turn to Charles Maines in Moscow. What do you see in the city right now, Charles? Are people gearing up for this big vote?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're looking around the city, you see all these nicely drawn get-out-the-vote posters around town, kind of showing hipsters in parks, holding cappuccinos, smartphones. I guess I would say highlighting some of the more attractive aspects of changes in Moscow over the past several years. But if you go online, it's a little bit different. There's a pro-Kremlin political ad that's been making the rounds, and it warns that if liberal opposition types win races, something else will happen.
Ты обычный патриот. Любишь путешествовать по России?
All right, I understood the word patriot in there. What is this about?
Right, so this is saying that patriots, if they don't come out and vote, Moscow will suddenly see gay pride parades, gender-fluid students in high school, and of course the U.S. Navy riding gunships up the Moscow River. So, you know, basically it's this kind of greatest hits of wedge issues that the Kremlin has built its brand of conservative politics around in recent years.
So this summer, it's been full of protests in Moscow and arrests across the city. Remind us how that actually happened.
The thing that really sparked the movement was the police response to these protests. We had 2,500 arrests, protesters beat by baton-wielding Oman security forces, a lot of really ugly scenes captured on social media. And it seemed to draw others into the movement. And I want to play a little bit of an interview I did with a young student named Andrei, who I talked to as police were moving in on a square in central Moscow.
We hope for the liberation of Russia from these people. We want peace and liberation for our city. We just can't step aside.
You know, and a lot of people I talked to seem to feel like Andrei. So suddenly we have 60,000 people out to protest, including a lot of people who weren't that interested in the elections, and people like rappers and YouTube stars saying that people had to come out. And so in a way, I guess it's turned this whole election, which most people weren't paying a whole lot of attention to, into something much bigger, this test of political freedoms in Russia today.
Now, the majority of the opposition, we should mention, has spent a good part of the summer in jail. And of course, they're banned from participation. I think of Lyubov Sobol, Alexei Navalny, the main opposition leader, his right-hand woman, who not only was jailed, but was on a hunger strike. Who can people vote for on Sunday? What are their options if they don't want to vote for anybody associated with United Russia?
Well, the opposition is out of the race, but they're influencing what happens here immensely. Just months ago, before all this started, Alexei Navalny, arguably again the leader of the opposition, unveiled a plan called Smart Voting.
Привет, это Навальный, и сейчас я расскажу вам, как мы будем побеждать Единую Россию на выборах.
So the idea here is that Navalny really knew that opposition candidates would likely be banned, and so he's urging people to identify whatever other candidate has the best chance to beat people tied to United Russia or to the mayor or to Vladimir Putin, in other words, the ruling Kremlin parties.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I mean, what if the candidate is a non-democratic nationalist far-right person?
And that's the problem, right? So you ask a liberal Democrat to vote for, say, a communist or a Stalinist or a nationalist, and that's a hard sell. But you know, on the other hand, if you do the math, Navalny's strategy is sound. It would be a way to beat United Russia. It's an extremely unpopular party right now.
What do protesters really want at this point, Charles?
Well, I think, first of all, a lot of them want justice for those who are wrongly imprisoned. And certainly those appeals are going forward in the courts here, although I think many people expect it'll take the European Court of Human Rights, of which Russia is a member, to actually get some kind of justice for those who are imprisoned this week. In terms of Sunday, I think, of course, we're looking, will this Navalny smart vote strategy work? It's a real open question. There was a raid on Navalny's headquarters. Again, this seems to happen every other couple weeks, but they raided it again last night, which suggests that authorities are nervous about this plan. We've also seen Kremlin pressure, presumably against candidates that were polling well against these pro-Kremlin candidates and forcing them to drop out of the race. So, you know, but if it does work, what'll happen? Will we see vote rigging like we did back in 2011? Or will, in fact, United Russia basically bow out of politics here on the local level?
Charles Maines in Moscow, reporting on the upcoming Moscow city elections this weekend. As always, Charles, thank you.
Thanks, Marco.